Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Ches, the 10th Perek, Eil HaNechanakim. The Zichu Masechta Sanhedrin program has been dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem and his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin. May their neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Kahane says that if the Zaken Mamre quotes his ruling Mifi HaShmua from a tradition he heard from his teachers, and the Sanhedrin quote their ruling Mifi HaShmua as well, or he said, Kachu Be'enai, that is what appears in my eyes, meaning his personal decision, and the Sanhedrin's ruling is also from their reasoning, and certainly if his ruling is Mifi HaShmua and theirs is from their reasoning, he is not killed as a Zaken Mamre unless his ruling is based on his own reasoning and ignores the Sanhedrin's ruling, which is Mifi HaShmua. This is why Akavi ben Mahalo was not killed for not accepting Sanhedrin's rulings, because he had received his rulings Mifi HaShmua. Rabbi Elazar disagrees and says that even if the Zaken Mamre's ruling was Mifi HaShmua, and Sanhedrin's was based on their own reasoning, he's killed Kedei Shelo Yirbu Machlokas b'Yisrael, so that Machlokas should not proliferate in Yisrael. Still, Akavi ben Mahalo was not killed, for he did not rule for his position to be followed practically. A Braisa teaches that Sanhedrin cannot pardon a Zaken Mamre, Kedei Shelo Yirbu Machlokas b'Yisrael, proving Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Point number two, in a Braisa, Rabbi Yossi said that initially disputes were not numerous in Yisrael. Whenever a local basin had not heard a ruling on any matter, they would ask the basin of the nearby city, and if they too had not heard the answer, they would come to the basin at the entrance of Har Bais, and then the basin at the entrance of the Azar, and finally they would all come to the Sanhedrin, which sat in the Lushutz Gazis every day from when the morning Tamid is brought until the afternoon Tamid is brought. On Shabbos and Yantar, they sat in the Chel. If they had heard the answer, they related it, but if not, Omdim Laminyan, they took a vote and followed the majority, and so disputes were resolved. However, once the Talmid of Shammai and Hillel increased, Shoshim Shel Kol Tzarchan, who did not sufficiently attend to their teachers, Rabu Machlokas b'Yisrael, disputes increased in Yisrael, v'nasus Torah k'shtei Toros, and the Torah became like two Torahs because of the numerous differences in practice. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that there is a greater stringency in the Sofrim's words compared to the Torah's words regarding a Zaken Mamre. If a Zaken Mamre says there's no mitzvah of tefillin, he's punted because it's obviously false and not a legitimate ruling. However, if he says the tefillin shel rosh requires five compartments instead of four, a hosiv al divrei Sofrim to add onto the Sofrim's words, he is chayv. Rabbi Yoshia says that a Zaken Mamre is only chayv for disputing a matter whose fundamental element is written in the Torah. Its interpretation is taught by the Sofrim, like Rabbi Yehuda on Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, yesh bo lahosiv, and it's possible to add onto its required elements, v'im hosiv goreya, and if one adds to the number, he detracts from the mitzvah's fulfillment. This is only possible with tefillin, where adding a fifth compartment violates bal tosif, you shall not add, to any mitzvah, and invalidates the tefillin. Although, regarding lulav and tzitzis, adding another element does not retract from the mitzvah. If the mitzvah's components are not required to be bound together, tefillin are invalidated by adding a fifth compartment, because the other compartments must be exposed to the air. So once again, the three points are: number one, Rav Kahane says that if the Zaken Mamre quotes his ruling, Mifi HaShmua, from a tradition he heard from his teachers, and the Sanhedrin quote their ruling, Mifi HaShmua as well, or he said, Kachu Be'enai, this is what appears in my eyes, meaning his personal decision, and the Sanhedrin's ruling is also from their reasoning, and certainly if his ruling is Mifi HaShmua and theirs is from their reasoning, he's not killed as a Zaken Mamre unless he is ruling based on his own reasoning and ignores the Sanhedrin's ruling, which is Mifi HaShmua. This is why Akavi ben Mahalo was not killed for not accepting Sanhedrin's rulings, because he had received his rulings Mifi HaShmua. Rabbi Elazar disagrees and says that even if the Zaken Mamre's ruling was Mifi HaShmua, and Sanhedrin's was based on their own reasoning, he's killed Kedei Shelo Yirbu Machlokas b'Yisrael, so that Machlokas should not proliferate in Yisrael. Still, Akavi ben Mahalo was not killed, for he did not rule for his position to be followed practically. A Braisa teaches that Sanhedrin cannot pardon a Zaken Mamre, Kedei Shelo Yirbu Machlokas b'Yisrael, proving Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Point number two, in a Braisa, Rabbi Yossi said that initially disputes were not numerous in Yisrael. Whenever a local basin had not heard a ruling on any matter, they would ask the basin of the nearby city, and if they too had not heard the answer, they would come to the basin at the entrance of Har Bais, and then the basin at the entrance of the Azar, and finally they would all come to the Sanhedrin, which sat in the Lushutz Gazis every day from when the morning Tamid is brought until the afternoon Tamid is brought. On Shabbos and Yantar, they sat in the Chel. If they had heard the answer, they related it, but if not, Omdim Laminyan, they took a vote and followed the majority, and so disputes were resolved. However, once the Talmid of Shammai and Hillel increased, Shoshim Shel Kol Tzarchan, who did not sufficiently attend to their teachers, Rabu Machlokas b'Yisrael, disputes increased in Yisrael, v'nasus Torah k'shtei Toros, and the Torah became like two Torahs because of the numer because of the numerous differences in practice. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that there is a greater stringency in the Sofrim's words compared to the Torah's words regarding Azak and Mamre. If Azak and Mamre says there's no mitzvah of tefillin, he's punted because it's obviously false and not a legitimate ruling. However, if he says the tefillin shel rosh requires five compartments instead of four, a hosiv al divrei Sofrim to add onto the Sofrim's words, he's chayv. Rabbi Yoshia says that Azak and Mamre is only chayv for disputing a matter whose fundamental element is written in the Torah. Its interpretation is taught by the Sofrim, like Rabbi Yehuda on Duff Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. Yesh bo lehosiv, and it's possible to add onto its required elements, v'im hosiv goreya. And if one adds to the number, he detracts from the mitzvah's fulfillment. This is only possible with tefillin, where adding a fifth compartment violates bal tosiv, you shall not add, to any mitzvah, and invalidates the tefillin. Although, regarding lulav and tzitzis, adding another element does not retract from the mitzvah. If the mitzvah's components are not required to be bound together, tefillin are invalidated by adding a fifth compartment, because the other compartments must be exposed to the air. All right, so now we go to siman daf peches, and our standard siman is a pach, a garbage can or a dustbin, depending on the culture. So here goes. By the garbage can filled with a thrown-out case of a Azak and Mamre, because his ruling was Mifia Shmua, and so was the Sanhedrin's, were two groups of students who were getting into a machlokas again, whether a Azak and Mamre could be chayv for being mosiv on other mitzvahs, like he would be chayv for saying there are five compartments to tefillin. Once again, it's a motion. By the garbage can, that must run daf peches, pach. By the garbage can filled with a thrown-out case of Azak and Mamre, because his ruling was Mefia Shmua, and so was the Sanhedrin's, which reminds us, Rav Kahana says that if Azak and Mamre quotes his ruling Mefia Shmua from a tradition he heard from his teachers, and the Sanhedrin quote their ruling Mefia Shmua as well, or he said, Kachu Be'enai, this is what appears to me in my eyes, meaning his personal decision, and the Sanhedrin's ruling is also from their reasoning, and certainly if his ruling is Mefia Shmua, and theirs is from their reasoning, he is not killed as Azak and Mamre unless his ruling is based on his own reasoning, and ignores the Sanhedrin's ruling, which is Mefia Shmua. Rabbi Elazar disagrees and says that even if the Zak and Mamre's ruling was Mefia Shmua, and Sanhedrin's was based on their own reasoning, he is killed, Kedesh Yirbu Machokas be Yisrael, so that Machokasim should not proliferate in Yisrael. So by the garbage can filled with a thrown-out case of a Azak and Mamre, because his ruling was Mefia Shmua, and so was the Sanhedrin's, were two groups of students who were getting into a machlokas, again, which reminds us, Rav Yossi teaches in a brisa that in earlier times, halachic disputes were rare in Yisrael. If need be, unresolved disputes ended up before the Sanhedrin in the Lishkos HaGazis. However, when the students of Shammai and Hillel increased, they did not fully attend to their teachers, leading to a proliferation of disputes. As a result, Machlokas increased in Yisrael, and the Torah appeared as if it had become two Torahs. So by the garbage can filled with a thrown-out case of Azak and Mamre, because his ruling was Mefia Shmua, and so was the Sanhedrin's, were two groups of students who were getting into a machlokas again, whether Azak and Mamre could be chayv for being mosiv on other mitzvahs, like he would be chayv for saying there are five compartments to tefillin, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states there's a greater chumrah in the Sofrim's words compared to the Torah's words regarding Azak and Mamre. If Azak and Mamre says there's no mitzvah of tefillin, he's pater because it's obviously false and not a legitimate ruling. However, if he says the tefillin shel rosh require five compartments instead of four, hosif al divrei Sofrim to add onto the Sofrim's words, he's chayev. Rav Hoshea says that Azak and Mamre is only chayv for disputing a matter whose fundamental element is written in the Torah. Its interpretation is taught by the Sofrim, v'yesh bo lehosiv, and it's possible to add onto its required elements, v'im hosiv goreya, and if one adds to the number, he detracts from the mitzvah's fulfillment. This is only possible with tefillin, where adding a fifth compartment violates bal tosiv, you shall not add to any mitzvah, and invalidates the tefillin. So once again, by the garbage can filled with a thrown-out case of Azak and Mamre, because his ruling was Mefia Shmua, and so was the Sanhedrin's, were two groups of students who were getting into a machlokas again, whether Azak and Mamre could be chayv for being mosiv on other mitzvahs, like he would be chayv for saying there are five compartments to tefillin. All right, so now it's time for four blah bach hazara, daf pei dalet. So the simmer daf pei dalet is a launch pad. So here goes. While the rabbis argued over which Misa Azar who did a vote in the Mikdash was Chayev, he slipped away and boarded a rocket ship on a launch pad. Launch pad? That must be on Duff Pei Dalet. Launch pad. While the rabbis argued over which Misa Azar who did a vote in the Mikdash was Chayev, he slipped away and boarded a rocket ship on a launch pad, which reminds us, the Gemara brings three opinions for the source of the punishment of Azar who serves in the Mikdash. So while the rabbis argued over which Misa Azar who did avot in the Mikdash was chayiv, he slipped away and boarded a rocket ship on a launch pad and was almost joined by someone who wounded his father, which reminds us. The 10th parak begins, El Hena Nechanakim. These are the ones who are strangled. One who strikes his parent, one who kidnaps a Jew, Azak and Mamre, a sage who rebels against the Sanhedrin, a Navi Sheker, one who prophesies in an idol's name, an adulterer, Edim Zomim of a married Bas Kohen who testified she should receive Sreifa, and a man who had relations with a married Bas Kohen. The Gemara explains how we know that Maka Aviv means to wound a father and not to kill him. So while the rabbis argued over which Misa Azar who did a vote in the Mikdash was Chayiv, he slipped away and boarded a rocket ship on a launch pad and was almost joined by someone who wounded his father, but was told he was Pater since it was due to bloodletting, which reminds us a son letting the blood of his father for health purposes is Pater from punishment. Daf Pehe, so the Simmer Daf Pehe relates to the Peh, the mouth, and we use a dentist for the Simmon. So here goes. When the dentist, that must be more on Daf Pehe, Peh, mouth, dentist. When the dentist argued that a son should not be allowed to hit him as a Shliach Basin, which reminds us, Rav Sheshes was asked, can a son be made a Shliach Basin to strike or curse his father, meaning if his father was liable to Malkus or excommunication respectively? Rabbi Bar Rav Huna and a Brice Rav Shmuel ruled, L'chol ena ben nasa shaliach la'aviv la'kosu l'kalu. For all sins, a son is not made a shaliach abeistin to strike or curse his father, chus memesis, except for one who instigates others to serve avodah zorah. His son may carry out his sentence because the Torah says about him, osachmo vosichaselav, you shall not have compassion nor conceal him. So, when the dentist argued that his son should not be allowed to hit him as a shliach beistin, the son replied that he was permitted to strike him given that his father is an evil sinner, which reminds the Gemara discusses cursing a parent after his death, and we learn that a sinful parent is also excluded from the striking prohibition. So when the dentist argued that his son should not be allowed to hit him as a shliach beistin, the son replied that he was permitted to strike him given that his father is an evil sinner for kidnapping a boy and putting him to work as a dental assistant, which reminds the next mission states, Gonav Nefesh Misrael, one who kidnaps a Jew, is not chayv to chenek until he takes him into his possession. Rav Yehuda says he must take him into his possession, mishtamish bo, and make use of him, as the pasuk says, visamer bo umachro, and he made use of him and sold him. Daf Pei Vav, so the simmer Daf Pei Vav is police. So here goes. The police officers, police, that must be one Daf Pei Vav. The police officers who were dragging the second set of Edim for Aben Sora Moreh were found Zomim to Basin since their testimony is not considered Chatzi Davar, which reminds me, we learned that second Edis is not Chatzi Davar, where the first Edis is independently effective, such as in the case of Aben Sora Moreh. So the police officers who were dragging the second set of Edim for Aben Sora Moreh were found Zomim to Basin since their testimony is not considered Chatzi Davar, and were joined by officers dragging Edi Ganeva of a kidnapping, who were found to be Zomim, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the Malchokas of Edi Ganeva of kidnapping are killed, and the Malchokas is based on the question whether the Edis of the Ganeva Umechira stand on their own, or whether the Edis of the kidnapping is the beginning of the selling. So the police officers who were dragging the second set of Edim for Ben Sora Moreh, who were found Zomim to Basin, since their testimony is not considered Chatzi Davar, and were joined by officers dragging Edi Ganeva of a kidnapping, who were found to be Zomamin, had to wait behind the officers doing crowd control outside Basin, dealing with a Zaken Mamre and his whole local Basin, which reminds us, the next mission discusses Zaken Mamre Alpi Basin, a sage who rebels against Sanhedrin, who is killed with Chanuk. Daf Pei Zayin, so the Simmer Daf Pei Zayin is a golden Pez candy dispenser. So here goes. The Zaken Mamre and the Basin walk together up the golden path of Pez candy dispensers. Gold Pez candy dispensers? That must be on Daf Pei Zayin. The Zaken Mamre and the Basin walk together up the golden path of Pez candy dispensers, heading up to the base of Mikdash, which reminds us the Zaken Mamre and his disputants go up to the base of Mikdash, which is higher than all of Eretz Yisrael. So the Zaken Mamre and the Basin walk together up the golden path of Pez candy dispensers, heading up to the base of Mikdash, after the Zaken Mamre ruled on something written in the Torah, whose words are like gold and explained by the Rabban, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses what kind of halachic disagreement qualifies for a Zaken Mamre. There are three opinions given. Rabbi Yehuda says, the dispute must be al davar she'ikra medivrei Torah, uperusha medivrei sofrim, about a matter whose fundamental element is written in the Torah, and its interpretation is taught by the sofrim, meaning the early sages. So the Zaken Mamre and the Basin walk together up the golden path of Pez candy dispensers, heading up to the Beis HaMikdash, after the Zaken Mamre ruled on something written in the Torah, whose words are like gold, and explained by the Rabban, and stated that a ruling given by two judges on a piece of gold used for Kedushin was invalid, which reminds the Gemara discusses Karis violations resulting from a dispute about Dinim Amonos. This refers to the Machlokes about a monetary ruling issued by two judges, which Shmuel said is valid and Rabbi Avo said is not valid. Thus, if someone is awarded money by a two-person court and Sanhedrin ruled like Shmuel and the Zakim Mamre ruled like Rabbi Avo, he would consider the awarded money stolen by the victorious party. If he then marries a woman with that money, the Zakim Mamre would consider the Kedushin invalid and permit her to marry others, resulting in a Karis violation. So the Zakim Mamre and the Basin walked together up the golden path of Pez candy dispensers, heading up to the Beis HaMikdash. After the Zakim Mamre ruled on something written in the Torah whose words are like gold and explained by the Rabbanan, and stated that a ruling given by two judges on a piece of gold used for Kedushin was invalid. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one. Which daf do we have three opinions as to the punishment for Azar, who serves in the Mikdash? That's on daf Peidal. Number two, which daf is it where we discuss a Zakim Mamre, who maintains that tefillin requires five components? That's on daf. That's on daf. Number three, which daf do you discuss whether a son can be a shliach based in to strike or curse his father for malchus or excommunication, respectively? That's on daf. Number four, which daf do you discuss what the din is if the Zakim Mamre's din is mefia shmua and so is the Sanhedrin's? That's on daf. Number five, which daf do you discuss karis violations resulting from a dispute about dinim amonos? That's on daf. Pezayin. Number six, which daf do you learn that machlokas have been increasing karis because the Talmidim of Hillel and Shammai did not attend to their rebbeim? Because the Talmidim of Hillel and Shammai did not attend to them sufficiently. That's on daf. Peches. Number seven, which daf does Gemara bring the source that Kohanim who are mechusar begadim, not wearing the big day kahuna, are chayv misa b'day shemaim and are considered like a zar shishimesh? That's on daf. Pei gimel. Number eight, which of the one that Pinchas would have been. Hid his spear to gain entry into Zimri's tent, and six miracles occurred for him. That's on daf. Which of the one that the second Adis is not Chatzi Davar, where the first Adis is independently effective, such as in the case of a Ben Sora Mora. That's on daf. Peivav. Number 10. Which of the one that Zakim Mamre and his disputants go up to the base of Mikdash, which is higher than all of Eretz Yisrael. That's on daf. Pei Zayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.